Bhakti Yoga is being compared here to what? Without looking at the board. Fire. Yes. To fire. What does fire do? Burns. Yeah, it makes things hot. You know, there's a saying, if you don't like the heat, don't come into the kitchen. Yeah. So, in conditioned life, the pure state of the spirit soul is covered. My favourite example is of a drop of water. Prabhupada gives this example. A drop of water falling from a cloud is in its original pristine, pure, clear, clean, sweet state of being. When the water falls into the dirt, then the the pure state of the water is covered over by the dirt. The water in its original condition is still there, but because it has hit the dirt, then it's pure condition is covered, and so what we get is mud. So that originally pure state of water has to be regained, recovered, and there is a process to extract water out of mud. I mean, you can do it so that you get the pure water again. So similarly also in coming into the material realm, our original Krishna consciousness, we originally Satchit Ananda, that's our original nature. It's not something that we have to gain or seek out, because actually these are qualities that exist already within us. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem, the eternal perfection of Krishna Prem already resides within the heart of the living entity, albeit in an dormant state. It exists just as the pure state of the water exists in the mud. But because we're under the influence of the material energy, then our pure Krishna consciousness is covered over. And so that's the impurity, the mala, if you like, the badness, if you like, of being caught up in material existence. So, also with gold when it's mined is more often than not mixed with impurities, and so its pure state is contaminated with other elements that it's mixed with, and so therefore in order to purify the gold, the goldsmith or the metallurgist, they'll put it in the fire and heat it up. And then in the heating process, the gold is then separated from the other impurities. You know, in a smelting system, they do it with iron ore also. They heat it up and heat it up and heat it up. Then the impurities usually rise to the surface. And then they have scoops, and they scoop off the impure contaminants. And then after heating and heating and heating and removing and removing and removing, one's left with the pure gold. That's this interesting word here. Dhamatam. Dhamatam. Which means smelted. And the active element, the active ingredient that forces that process is what? Huh?
Golden.
Yeah, that's what you get. What's the active ingredient that gives you the purity? The fire. Yeah. Agnina. Agnina. Just as fire. So, the process of devotional service is likened to a fire. So if you say fired up, everyone's very enthusiastic, determined, enlivened, and enthusiastic about what one's doing, we say he's fired up. And when we're fired up, then there's nothing that we can't do in Krishna consciousness. The process of bhakti yoga is likened to fire.
Blazing.
Blazing fire. Yeah, it has to be blazing fire. If you want to get there was that story that Prabhupada gave here in Melbourne about the yogi and the king. Right? And the yogi was a great renunciate, and he was standing in the river. And somehow there was a pact between the yogi and the king, and the king said, "I'll give you 10,000 rupees if you can stand in the river all night." So the yogi stood in the river. And the king didn't want to give him the money, so he was trying to find an excuse not to pay him. So he saw a lamp in the dome of the temple. He said, "You cheated. You took heat from that lamp." So then the minister of the king, who didn't like the cheating, he wanted to teach the king a lesson. So one day the king wanted to go on an excursion, and he made plans to leave early the next morning. And he asked his minister, "Make sure that everything's ready and that breakfast is on time." Somebody should go and tell Yogeshwara Govinda to make sure that breakfast is on time. So anyway, the king was eager to get going, and he said to the minister, "Okay, let's go. Where's breakfast?" He said, "Just now coming." So he waited another 2 minutes. He says, "Where's breakfast?" "Just now coming." So eventually the king went into the kitchen and he said, "What's going on in here?" And then they had this arrangement where there was this tripod. They had the khichdi pot almost up to the ceiling, and they had the fire down on the floor. I said, "We're cooking the khichdi." "So you never cook the khichdi like that." But the minister said, "Well, if the yogi could get heat from the lamp in the spire of the temple, then we can cook khichdi like this." So Prabhupada said, one can be relaxed in one's application of devotional service. And, after a long period of time, you may make some spiritual advancement. But everybody knows, if you want to cook your khichdi, if you want to have breakfast on time, you have to bring the pot with the grains and the rice and everything and the water and the chaunch. You need to bring it right down over the fire and make sure that the fire is blazing in order to cook the khichdi, otherwise you don't get anything. You get some wet dal and rice. So the process of bhakti is likened to this fire that purifies gold. And if one is absorbed, here it says, just as fire removes the impurities from gold by the smelting process, which implies, you know, a lot of heat, and for a sustained period of time, then one who performs devotional service in that fashion, then atma tamatam punaswam bhajate charupam atma chakarmanu suyam anusayam viduya. The contamination of material existence, in other words, you know, our pure consciousness currently contaminated by the modes of material nature, when we immerse ourselves in the fire of bhakti, in the fire of devotional service, then that contamination is gradually removed. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the example of chanting Hare Krishna. And primarily for us, our practice of devotional service rotates around or hinges upon, or was very much leveraged by, our chanting. But and following all of the different practices of devotional service, at the end of the Brahma Samhita, at least the chapter that we have of the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma says that the goal of bhakti is achieved by slow degrees. You know, we're all looking for the instant. We want instant advancement, instant purification. And you know, on occasion we do get instant reciprocation from Krishna. On occasion we do get that. You know, Krishna inspires us in the kirtan, in our study of the shastra, in the worship of the deities, and in the association of the devotees. Sometimes we get. But you know, that's a bit like, you know, Lord Chaitanya is described as being the Namo Mahavadanyaya, Krishna Prema Pratayata. He's freely giving Krishna Prema. Right? Lord Chaitanya is freely giving Krishna Prema. So he's like a salesman who freely sometimes gives away his wares, you know, like a sample. But still, there's the practice of devotional service. You know, every now and again we get a little free sample that inspires us and enthuses us. But in general, the process of devotional service is it's a gradual process. As Lord Brahma says, we achieve perfection by slow degrees. Huh? Doesn't happen instantly. It can happen. It has the potency to happen instantly. It has the potency, it has the shakti. But in general, it requires, you know, steady application. Or, as Lord Brahma says, constant endeavour. This is Rupa Goswami's recommendation. What is it? Utsaha. Nishchayat dharyat tat tat kama pravartanat. What's the next word? Next line is Janasanga, is it? Or Sangha Chag. Sato vritte, yes, sangha tyag. That means giving up bad association. So Rupa Goswami says, utsaha, one has to be enthusiastic. Utsaha nishchaya dharya, not deviated, remaining fixed. Dharya means sober, dhira, in other words, determined. Tat tat kama pravartana, one has to stick to the principles, the proper karmas, in other words. In other words, the positive and the negative have to be observed. We have to embrace the positive. We have to remove the negative. So this is a constant endeavour recommended by Lord Brahma. And how is that directed? By following the Shastra. Right. By following the theistic evidence, which is the Shastra. And as a result of following the Shastra, we then modify our behaviour. Huh? So our conduct has to be also determined or ruled, governed, if you like, by the prescriptions that are given to us by the Shastra and by the sadhus, by the saintly persons, the instructors, if you like. You know, we glean certain principles from the Shastra, but then we have to apply those principles. Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Devotion, or Rupa Goswami explains, that there are certain principles that are given by the Shastra, and the spiritual master is the person, or the spiritual masters are the persons who guide us how to apply those principles so that we can put them in practice practically according to time, place and circumstance, according to our requirements. So the process of bhakti is such that it has the potency to give us instant connection with Krishna, but at the same time it requires this determination, if you like, of practice. In other words, one has to remain in the fire. And primarily that fire is ignited by the chanting of Hare Krishna. For us, it's the chanting of Hare Krishna. And the theistic conduct is chanting Hare Krishna, how? Free from offences. This is how we remain in the fire. We follow the, you know, there is a process, there's a practice for chanting Hare Krishna. If we chant Hare Krishna with offences, then that's like the minister cooking the khichdi with the pot up on the ceiling. But if we chant Hare Krishna without offences, that's like lowering the pot and putting it on the boil. But what happens in the smelting process is when you put the heat up and you put it directly under the metal, then the impurities come to the surface. Because we generally don't like that, because it means that we have to face our attachments and our affections and so forth. So that can be painful sometimes. But we shouldn't shy away from those. Of course we do, but we shouldn't actually shy away from those difficulties or those challenges. That's actually the means by which we become purified. Lord Brahma says, you know, by the fire of ordeal. In other words, adhering to the process of devotional service, putting ourselves in the fire of devotional service, and then going through the purification. Which means, you know, it means by necessity there has to be some, you know, there's a saying for weightlifters, no pain, no gain, right? Now there's a reason for that. You know, we could think, why doesn't Krishna just make it easy for me to make advancement? Right? Why doesn't a Christian just make it easy? We're all sincere devotees. Right? We're all here to serve him. Why do there have to be so many obstacles in the path of devotional service? Right? But, you know, devotional service is not so easily given. You know, easy come, easy go. Right? We're given something, you know, parents give us something, a present for Christmas, you know, after 2 days the thing's lying in the backyard broken. Because we don't appreciate it. But if we go through the ordeal or the sacrifice of the, basically the Sankirtan Jagya, after having gone through the austerity in devotional service, one then appreciates the value of Krishna consciousness, the value of bhakti. A very, very simple process, and it has great potency in purifying the heart. But it can't be taken lightly or cheaply. It has to be valued. And if we are given something very cheaply or very lightly, without much consideration, then we won't value it as much. And neither will we be able to appreciate the value. Because effectively this mala or these impurities that exist within the heart, they're the obstacles. And they're the obstacles created by us. And the reason why Krishna has to, why the process appears to have to take some time and there has to be some effort, is because we're so attached to our material aspirations, our material considerations. And it's not that, you know, Krishna's not making things easy, it's that it's us making things hard. So, Lord Brahma says we have to model our behaviour on Shastric evidence. Our behaviour should be theistic, in other words, it has to be godly. We have to be performing saintly and devotional activities, and then we have, and that means, as I say, for us especially, chanting Hare Krishna, avoiding the 10 offences in chanting, avoiding offences to the Vaishnavas, very important, avoiding offences to the deities in our devotional service, avoiding offences to other living entities, that also can happen. We can be, you know, we can be nice to the devotees, but that doesn't mean we should be hard on other people also. So different types of offences have to be avoided. And then by perseverance, because we make advancement by slow degrees. It doesn't happen like that. Or if it does, for devotees, usually it's because they've shown by their dedication and their determination that actually they're capable of performing the austerities. So, by perseverance in devotional service, one, and remaining in the fire of devotional service, then the fruit of spiritual endeavour manifests itself in the heart. And it manifests itself in a form of love, love of Godhead. It manifests itself in a form of prema. Initially some taste, then steadiness, then attachment to Krishna. Of course, attachment to Krishna comes about when there's total detachment, purification basically, from things material. And so, you know, the reason why we don't experience the prema, if you like, If anybody's wondering, you know, we may wonder, why am I experiencing prema all the time? If bhakti is so potent and Krishna is so merciful, then I should be just floating in a sea of ecstasy. What? But, you know, all I experience is problems. What's going on? What's wrong? There must be something wrong. But the reason why we're not floating in a sea of ecstasy is because we're still hanging on to our material. We have our material attachments. And, you know, they're so close to us we can't see them. Right? A bit like when you look through your glasses, you don't see your glasses, you just see everything around you, but ultimately you're looking at your glasses. The process of bhakti, as is mentioned here, is like a fire, and we have to remain in the fire in order for it to work. And we shouldn't resist the fact that the fire is, you know, that it's hot and sometimes it gets uncomfortable. That's our purification. And that there are difficulties. Even if we look at the lives of the acharyas, not one of them had a magic carpet ride, you know, where everything, you know, it's just like life just went so smoothly. There were no difficulties and there was no trouble and they were just in samadhi all the way. There's no examples of that whatsoever. In fact, you see in Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you know, whatever difficulties that arise in the performance of my devotional service, that's my ecstasy. That's my pleasure. Because he has a realization. My service to Krishna gives rise to ananda, if you like. We do experience satchit ananda from time to time. And especially if we put ourselves in the fire of devotional service, then Krishna reciprocates with us. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, yes. And Queen Kunti also is another example. Prahlad Maharaj, boiled in oil, fed poison, thrown in a pit of snakes, chucked off a mountain. What else was there? Trampled by elephants. That was boiled. Yeah, put in the fire with holika. Haridas Thakur, another example, always being persecuted by the his brothers. So the Vaishnavas actually embrace the challenges, understanding that, you know, this principle. Just as gold, when smelted in fire, gives up its impurities and returns to its pure, brilliant state, similarly, the spirit soul absorbed in the fire of bhakti yoga is purified of all contamination. And as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that's then our entrance fee, if you like, into the spiritual world. Huh? If you want to go to the swimming pool, then you've got to have your card. And you get your card after paying the price. Right? The more valuable something is, the higher price we have to pay. Right? Even though Lord Chaitanya's Namo Mahavadanyaya, he's freely giving, at the same time also he expects one to follow the process. I'll give it freely, just a few small details about how you get it. No great austerities have to be performed. Right? Just chanting 16 rounds, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. Rising 4 o'clock in the morning, what's the problem? Although that's probably the greatest austerity that we have to endure. And preaching. Huh? Hearing the Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, these things are actually very pleasurable if performed in the right state of consciousness. So in that sense, Lord Chaitanya's, you know, you don't have to be a great scholar of the Vedas. You know, there was a gentleman who was staying with the devotees. I think it was in Hyderabad, and he was already a bit of a gyani. So he said to Prabhupada, "I think." Well, first of all, he said, "You know, I need some money to send home to my family." So Prabhupada said, "No. Our men work for 24 hours a day without even receiving a farthing." And then he said to Prabhupada, "I think that our devotees should become great scholars. They should learn Sanskrit." And Prabhupada said, "No." He said, "They should just preach what they know. And they should hear the Bhagavatam in the morning and go to class in the evening and read my books." He said, "That's sufficient." So one has to apply oneself to the process of devotional service. One doesn't have to be a great big scholar to get the benefits of devotional service. One doesn't have to perform great austerities to get the benefits of devotional service. But one has to embrace the challenges that come in the form of that fire of purification. And if we persevere, this is it. Utsahan, remain enthusiastic. Nishchaya, perseverant. Dharya, sober, determined. Was it tak kama pravartana? That means following the rules and regulations, following that which is recommended. The proper action, the proper behaviour. Janasanga. Sangatyag. Give up bad association. Sangha means the materialistic association. Tyag means give up. I was talking to my next door neighbour and he said that he knew some sannyasins. And I said, "Oh, what do they do?" And he said, "Oh, they drink. They have sex. And, you know, they..." I was surprised. "That's not the type of sannyasi that I know." He said, "Oh, I was just joking." He was talking about a particular type of sannyasin. They take the name sannyasin, but they don't give up anything. Right? So sangatyag, and then satovrite, following the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These are the six items that are recommended by Rupa Goswami. The process of devotional service. Positive. And especially this, as Lord Brahma says, by the fire of ordeal, one becomes purified. Gradually. And as we apply ourselves and as we stick to the process, then gradually we rise up out of the contamination of, you know, our pure spiritual identity rises up out of that contamination of the modes of material nature. And as it rises up, then we experience that ananda. Right? We're looking for ananda, but we have to look for it in the right place. And so long as we remain attached, basically, to our material aspirations, then that ananda will be covered, just like the gold is covered by the impurities. If we want the ananda, then we've got to be prepared to go through the... we have to be prepared to get into the smelter. Right? And sometimes we think, "Oh, it's too hard. I can't take it." And in that way, Krishna tests us. You know, do you really want me? Or do you want Maya? What do you want? And sometimes we choose Maya and then we do get... Actually, the interesting thing is, we choose Maya and have a guess what? She burns us as well. Huh? We choose Maya and then we get really burnt, we get singed, and we... Whoa! So the interesting thing is, actually, we have to go through the same amount of austerity in life. Actually, more so if we adhere to material existence. So why not accept the austerity that takes us towards Krishna? Okay, there may be some singeing also, but ultimately at least about purification. Go towards, you know, accept Maya, and we get singed, and we don't get what we want either. So the spirit soul absorbed in the fire of bhakti yoga is purified of all contamination caused by previous fruitive activities and returns to its original position of serving me in the spiritual world. That's the end result. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yeah. Yeah. Yes, well, here's a very good example. Arjuna is killing on the battlefield. Right? Now, ordinarily, we would embrace principles of ahimsa, non-violence. But as Prabhupada says, we actually, the Vaishnava, rejects this idea of ahimsa. Right? Ahimsa is not a word that we use in our dictionary. And he gives the example of the two great Kshatriya, the two great fighters, Hanuman and Arjuna. They're famous for using their fighting skills, killing others. They're famous for that. And they're considered to be the greatest devotees. So yeah, you're right. Bhakti shakes our conceptions of what is correct and what is wrong. And that's because Arjuna fighting for Krishna, pleasing Krishna by his fighting, became purified. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a unique example, yes. I wouldn't suggest that we become prostitutes for Krishna necessarily. Yeah. Yep. Well, the example of Chintamani is that she Bhuva Mangala Thakur says that my spiritual master appeared to me in the form of Chintamani because she instructed him correctly. Right? She instructed him correctly. Anybody, just like Prabhupada, you know, was diagnosed by the drunk doctor and he said, the old man just needs a bit of exercise. After Prabhupada just had a stroke, you know, practically, you know, a heart attack. But Prabhupada said, yeah, he's right. I do need to exercise. So Prabhupada exercised every day by walking. So even though it was a drunk man telling him, because the advice, and that, what's his name? Chanakya Pandit says we should take gold from a filthy place. A qualified wife from a lower class family and good advice from a fool. Right? So, here's some good advice from a fool. Stick to the process of bhakti yoga. Actually, it's not from a fool, it's from Prabhupada. Via a fool. We should stick to the process of bhakti. Despite the difficulties, in the end, we'll never be the loser. Krishna won't cheat us. In fact, you know, Krishna's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's quoted as saying, you know, my devotee wants material things foolishly, but I end up giving him something much better. Even though sometimes, you know, the devotee has to be dragged, kicking and screaming, you know, back over, back to Godhead. Krishna. Still better to stick with Krishna. Okay, Gwandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai.